Hi everyone and welcome to There's a Workshop for That. I'm Nathie Ravez, your host and the founder of La Workshoppeuse. If you are as passionate as I am in the power of facilitation, you are in the right place. On this podcast, experts in the field join me to share their experiences, insights, and practical tips. So whether you're a seasoned facilitator or simply curious about how well-designed and facilitated workshops can transform teams and organizations, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episode. And if you like what you hear, please give it a 5-star on your podcast app. So now, sit back, relax, and let's dive into today's topic and meet our guest. Let's go! Hi everyone, I'm very happy to say you welcome today. And for the one who don't know me, I'm Nathie, your host, and I have a very special guest today. I welcome Lisa Partridge, the founder of SixComms. I had the great pleasure of meeting her in Singapore in April. Like I say, we clicked right from the start. Lisa is a communicator, a connector, a curious soul, a radiant personality, a facilitator, and a podcast host. And in just a year and a half, she has managed to create a community around a concept she calls Walk and Talk. I had the joy of participating in one of her Walk and Talks, meeting amazing people while strolling along the bay in Singapore. So today we'll be talking about this wonderful initiative, diving into the behind the scenes of building a community and exploring her why, her what, and how she's doing this. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Nathie. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I'm so excited and happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Lisa, you are actually from the UK and living in Singapore since, I think, over 15 years. Can you tell me more about yourself, your background, and how you stepped into what you are doing today?
Yeah, so you would have noticed that my name is Partridge, and Partridge is a very famous bird that originates from the UK. And unlike most birds, it doesn't like flying long distances. It actually prefers running. So I'm not a typical partridge because I really don't prefer running. I prefer walking, as you quite rightly said in the introduction. I host a walk and talk community in Singapore, and I have flown to many different places, actually. So I am definitely not a typical partridge. So I've flown to Japan, was my first experience in Asia out of university. So my background is teaching English as a foreign language. So I really wanted to travel. So that was a way that I could travel and teach at the same time. So that took me to Japan, and then it took me to Italy and Germany, back to London, and lots of travel in between. And then, as you said, 15 years ago next month, my husband now had an opportunity to work in Singapore. So we took that opportunity. It wasn't a great time in London at the time. It was credit crunch time. So it was a great opportunity. And we thought, why not? We thought, oh, maybe we'll go over there a year, 2 years. The worst that can happen, we don't like it and we come back. But we never did. And three little partridges later, we are still very much in Singapore, and it's our home now. Yeah.
It's so nice. Living in this, I don't know how it was 15 years ago, but now Singapore is really a vibrant city and with a lot, thousands of opportunities. How do you navigate and build meaningful connections in this big area?
Yeah, it's funny. It's been an interesting journey. I know that word is used quite a lot, but it really has. I think 15 years ago, I mean, I came out and I was with someone that had the job and I didn't. I had a business actually in London but I kind of had to let that go as a result of coming away from it. So I found myself in a position where I didn't have any family around me. I didn't know a single soul except for my husband. So, and I was out of work. So it was like all of that together was quite a lot in the beginning. And I found it really tough, if I'm honest. I really found it tough to kind of step out of my comfort zone and go and meet people and connect with other people, because I didn't really have any starting point. I didn't have any like job. Like usually you get to know people through your work. You maybe have a friend that knows a friend that can introduce you to people, but I didn't have any of that. So I was literally starting from scratch. And I suppose now I reflect on it, I think my previous experience of traveling to different countries and teaching English, you do start from scratch every time. So I kind of knew that I had to put myself out there. And I think if you're an expat and you've traveled quite a bit for work, I think you've already got that inherent understanding that you need to put in a lot of energy. So I kind of joined different associations. They weren't, to be fair, always successful. I didn't maybe find the people that I had a lot in common with. So it was just trial and error, a lot of it. It was just, you know, finding different groups to be a member of or to get involved in. And then I found work and I got friends through that who introduced me to other groups. And I really do think that, you know, I've had my children, so that took up a lot of time. And I think our needs for connection changes over time and as our life circumstances change. But certainly in the last few years that I've founded Six Comms and have my own business, I've been a member of different communities and networking groups. And I think I found that a lot was lacking. I felt quite drained by some of it. So I think the Walk and Talk community really was created out of a very selfish need that I wanted to create something a bit different that was more enjoyable and a little less structured and more meaningful, and also killed two birds with one stone, which was to connect with people, but also to get the exercise in regularly. So that's what it did. And at the beginning, I had no intention that it was going to become a community at all. It just literally was, I wanted to explore different nature parks in Singapore because I really loved it during COVID. So I wanted to reconnect with the land and nature. And I just wanted a few friends around me that I could do that with. And that honestly is how it started. And then it evolved into something.
Yeah, which into was quite something
interesting. Yeah.
Into something big. It's really interesting that a lot of people who are starting something, it's only from a purpose of a lake of something that you have yourself and that you want to, yeah, to find and to connect with the right people. I can remember that I had this conversation with Kirsty Lewis, the founder of School of Facilitation, who connected us, by the way. And she was also telling that as she started to do this kind of gathering of people, she was just looking for people like her who love the facilitation stuff. And it was the starting point was a lake of, I don't find the people who are like myself. So your starting point was, you want to make meaningful connection and not some kind of networking that is actually just showing up and not really deep. So I love the fact that you start like this. So can you tell me a little bit more about what it is, the purpose, people, projects, what is inside?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been really working quite hard in the last several months to really nail down what it is. And I came up with a phrase that I think encapsulates it quite well, which is come curious, leave connected. So part of my six C's of Six Comms is around curiosity and connection. So I wanted to use those two words, and I think it really encapsulates the spirit of it, which is that we all come to the group in our exercise clothes, because we've got to be ready to walk with each other outside in this tropical climate. We come without makeup, we come without pretense, we come without our social status or our background, our LinkedIn profile. We just come as we are and we walk with each other. So it's very much in that spirit of, coming together and really connecting and going past that superficial stuff of who are you or what do you do and what is your job. So it breaks through all of that, I find. It's an hour, and what's really important to me is that it's so accessible. It's an easy yes. You don't have to think about it. You just throw on your exercise clothes, you pick up a bottle of water, and you arrive at 8 a.m. for an hour walk, and you can stay with us for a drink if you want to, and you can. And everything is a choice. Nothing is forced. So even in the introductions, like I'm a bit of a strange one. I think I'm an ambivert. I'm kind of an introvert, extrovert. I actually really enjoy time on my own. And as I was growing up, I was a really quiet child. So when I said I started this walk and talk because I wanted to satisfy a need, I found that the more structured indoor typical networking groups were quite overwhelming and quite uncomfortable for me a lot of the time. So it was about like being put on the spot, like you have 60 seconds to tell us what you do and what people can gain from working with you. And I found that very confronting, and I found that very icky in a lot of ways, because it was about what I can sell rather than what I'm more about, which is how I can serve and how I can show up in the best possible way in service of the group I'm with. And that's in a very customized way and in a very individual way. And so I found that quite icky. So at the beginning of the walk, I always get people, I think names are really important. So at least to know each other's names. And so we share our names. And then I do put a little bit of a structure around the intro, but it's very light. So it might be something like, what do you love, loathe, or are learning at the moment? And people can choose. So one might say, oh, I love walking outside in nature. I loathe getting up early on a Monday morning. It's just very light, and it's just something that they feel comfortable sharing with a group of people that they haven't met before. And I think for introverts, that is difficult to do. So I want to try and make it as easy and warm as possible for people. And then we just get into the walking. So I put a bit of boundaries around it in terms of this is for an hour. We walk as fast as the slowest person. So it's not a competition. It's not a test of fitness. Anyone of any size, shape, color, background can join. In fact, the other day, it was quite funny. I had my youngest ever walker and talker join the group. It was a mum who had messaged me to say that she had a 1-year-old daughter. Would it be possible to bring her along? And I just thought, well, this is the spirit of walk and talk. It's about inclusivity. So she did. She came along with her daughter, and she was very good. She was in the stroller, and she had a wonderful time. So it really is about getting people from, excuse the pun, all walks of life together, connecting and having a bit of exercise, a bit of movement in their day. And then at the halfway point, around the 30-minute mark, I always have something that I brought along in my bag or I've got on my phone, which is some questions, so prompt cards that I hand out, and then they can change partners and they can exchange their answers to these questions. And these questions are not superficial questions. They are quite thought-provoking, and they might have a theme around them. So on one walk, I had a theme of well-being and self-care. So all of those questions are around that. And people start to exchange ideas and brainstorm and learn from each other's experience. And just the act of walking and being in nature just automatically makes everyone feel more comfortable, and they open up. And I'm always really humbled at the level of sharing is quite incredible.
Wow, I was there. I can remember the feeling of coming to this bay and telling myself, okay, I'm in Singapore for 3 days. I don't know anybody. I just had a coffee with you, and we connected through the questions cards from Yan Kek. I love
Yeah,
that.
I love them. Yeah, I love them.
And then I came to this Friday morning at 8 o'clock at the Marina Bay, meeting people I never saw in my life. And it was so nice to have great conversation from the start and discover, oh, how you came here, what brought you here in this city, what is the things behind. How do you communicate this? Because I think in the meantime, how many people are in this community?
So it's been a bit of an experimentation, to be honest. It's been like I've experimented with different days, different times, but now I've kind of set on Monday morning, which is aimed towards entrepreneurs or small business owners who are feeling like we do, like all entrepreneurs do, a bit isolated or a bit disconnected. And that was advice taken from my dad, who was a lifelong entrepreneur, who said to me very early on, if you have become self-employed, be very careful of the loneliness, because that is a real thing. So I was very aware of that when I was going into self-employment again 3.5 years ago. So the Monday morning is set up for those, and most of the group is entrepreneurs and small business owners, I would say. But then as it was gaining popularity and I was putting it more out on social media, I was getting people coming up to me saying, I'd love to join, but I'm employed and I can't commit to morning times. So that's when I've just recently opened a space for Wednesday evening, so midweek, 6 o'clock to 7 p.m. So for those office workers, it's in one location, a central location. So I'm trying to attract people that are employed that want to come along as well and connect.
Yeah, you have. Of course, you have. So now we know who kind of people are in the group. How many people do you have in since the beginning? Do you know that?
Yes, so they come. I always invite them once they've signed up through the website. They come into a WhatsApp community group, and now I think the last count, if I'm not mistaken, was 126. Yeah.
And how many did you know from them at the beginning?
That's a good question, and I should have that data, but
10%?
maybe 10, yeah, maybe 10%, maybe a bit more, but not much more than that. Yeah.
If you want to get more information about facilitation, workshop design, create resources, or even advice on how to become a freelance facilitator, receive my bi-monthly pinky newsletter called La Workshoppers Gazette. Subscribe via the link in the show notes.
And when did you start?
I would say properly, and again, it's been on and off, around 18 months. Yeah,
it's
maybe
crazy.
a bit less.
So
Yeah.
in 18 months, you connected 100, more than 100 people together.
Yeah. And they don't all walk together. I mean, I've got a group that I would say are more of the regulars, like the active members that consistently are coming along, and they're kind of my foundation group, the ones that started with me right in the early days, and they've seen how it's grown, and they're advocates, I would say, because they're the ones that when I'm not in the room, they're talking about it for me. Which is how it's grown. So some of it has come through referral, And then people, and I'm just consistently posting on social media all the time, tagging the walkers that come along. And of course, then that dips into their networks and that has a cumulative effect. Yeah.
Yeah. So this community is growing and growing. There is the purpose of connecting people in a meaningful way. But is there now, coming from all these more than 100 people, some sides projects coming out from this of a natural way, I mean?
Yeah, so now I've kind of made it more streamlined and organized, in as much that it's a WhatsApp community. There's different groups. So in that community, there's a group for podcasts. So I always post like what episodes I've been doing, publishing. There's a group there for workshops. So if I'm facilitating any workshops that are connected to nature, would be valuable for the members of the community, then they can tap into those. And then people that have come on Walk and Talks have referred me to do facilitation. So I've got a gig coming up soon where I'm customizing a Walk and Talk, and I'm doing that with a partner, a visual facilitator. So and that's also bringing in my podcasting skills, because they've asked me to do a series of mini interviews as well with some of the walkers, and then that will be extracted and used in their marketing and their internal newsletters. So yeah, some interesting work can come out of it, and that is the hope. Yeah, by building up and expanding this community, there will be more and more people that get to know me and what I can offer, and then hopefully will come referrals for other work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're building a community, and it's coming out a kind of ecosystem where people can work together on different topics, because we all have our skills. And I love the fact that you are building a kind of ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean,
it's crazy.
It is an ecosystem, yeah. And it also connects the podcast I host, because several of the walkers have been guests on my podcast. So it's like that cyclical nature of it is really nice. Yeah, reciprocal.
So you are connecting everything that you are. I mean, the communication part, the facilitation part, the podcast host part. You have created your own little world. How does it feel?
It's unbelievable in some sense, but it's great. It's not what I planned. It's not been like this mastermind plan. It's something that I think is great, because it's just organically grown into this, and then I've tried to connect the dots along the way, and that's really satisfying, because I think as when we become entrepreneurs in the beginning, I think it's a lot of pressure to know exactly, you know, our niche market, who we're targeting. I actually really hate that word niche. I'm bored with that. I've struggled with people. I mean, it sounds such a simple question, like what do you do and who's your target audience? It really makes you feel almost guilty, like I should know the answers and they should always be at the tip of my tongue. But I feel like my journey, or the way that I show up in the world or I work, it doesn't fall into that, those, what would you say, those boxes. I sometimes feel that I don't want it to be like a tick box, or that I'm boxed into that. So I found that actually I've organically found my route into how I'd like to be. And that for me really feels like a good fit to build it around a community, which actually aligns with what I set out to do, really, which was three of the six C's of six comms, which is the human element of communication, which is connection, curiosity, and compassion. And those three are just living and breathing through the community that I've created, and doing that in a very natural, organic way. So yeah, it's been a good learning experience, and it's taken a lot of my 6C, which is consistency.
This is the hardest one, because you have to be very auto-disciplined, even when sometimes you don't want to show up. What are the maybe some of the challenge? This is one of the challenge, being consistent.
I think consistency is difficult. It's great when you're in a good mood and everything else in your life is ticking along smoothly. But when you're feeling tired, or when you've got life things to deal with, and I've got a young family as well. So, you know, I've got three little ones, I've got a husband, I've got a household to kind of take care of and manage and coordinate all of their activities around my own. I think consistency can be really challenging. And sometimes, in the middle of this, growing this community and then making that decision for it to be an integral part of my business, I was like showing up and people were cancelling like the morning of me going to the venue, and having to sit with that. Like, I've made the effort to get up and organize my life to show up and be present, and then people last minute cancelling. And some days I could be like, okay, brush it off, it's okay. Other days it was like really demoralizing. It's like, yeah, you put all this effort in and people can't show up, and they might have really, you know, good reasons for not showing up, but sometimes that's tough when you put a lot of effort and care into it. So that's been the challenge. I did grow the community as a free community. So it's only recently that I've put a charge on. Mm-hmm. And that was a journey for me, because I'm a bit stubborn. So I think I was holding on to the fact that when I started this and it's free and I shouldn't be charging people, because that's the value and the moral that I've set. So by talking through this with a few of my coach friends and other walkers, and also having people come up to me and actually with their phones willing to give me money for this, was a real huge turning point for me. I had to kind of face some inner demons around money and value. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I worked through those, and that was through several months. And now I'm happy that I've put a fee on it, because it is valuable, and it does help me show up consistently. So, and it, you know, it keeps it going and running, and I can maintain it that way. So it's part of my business. Yeah.
And maybe it's also a way of make the people commit, as you said before. Sometimes people are telling, okay, I'm joining, and then at the last moment they are not joining, and it's a little bit of psychological thing when you pay, even if it's not a big fee. Yeah. When you pay for something, you engage more to do this, because you have paid for this. So,
Yeah. So that's been a learning, and I've never led a community. I mean, I've facilitated loads and loads of workshops, but being I'm a community leader, or
you are definitely
not got used to that yet. Then is it like just even creating and maintaining a WhatsApp community is learning. It's like I've never done that before. So it's all learning, Natty. It's all learning.
Yeah, but yeah. I saw that and I thought, wow, this is a really great idea, and I might take your idea to do it for myself. because I was thinking I didn't even know that it is possible to make a community in WhatsApp. What is super easy because you can make some channels. I have the feeling it's easy. We are just looking at it right now. It's not. Tell me.
It is easy. Like, well, I had to get my friend to set it up for me because I was on, I think you can only do it on a, and listeners, you're going to have to check this because I've just taken the advice of friends, of fellow walkers. And she said, oh yeah, you can try this. But I had an account that meant that I couldn't do it. So she had to set it up for me and she's an admin. And then I add the groups myself. So you have to find out the technical stuff around it because there is a few things that you have to check. But in terms of actually then setting up the groups and everything, that's easy. But with anything, it's about consistently keeping people engaged, following up, putting photos in there, like after each walk. You have to have a certain structure and an organization to allow you to be consistently engaging people and reminding them. And if they've not been engaged for a while, is just sending that little prompt to say, oh, I haven't heard from you in a while. Are you going to be joining soon? Things like that, welcoming new members in. There's a lot that goes on in behind the scenes around managing that. And I suppose one of the challenges I have faced is making it very clear what the spirit and the intention of the group is, because you will have, unfortunately, a minority of people that take advantage of that and maybe use that as a database for them to then go and reach out behind your back and start trying to push for business. And that's really not the spirit of the group. And I don't want to be associated with people being pressured into buying services or products that, you know, I haven't been a part of and I don't endorse. So that's kind of, you always get that darker side of things. And I would say, you just be mindful of that and be really clear when you're bringing people in, get them to read what the spirit of the group is and the intention of the group is, and then acknowledge that before bringing them into the community. So that's what I've started to do now as I bring new members in, just as because it's a responsibility that I have to ensure that I'm protecting the members within the group.
It's so nice. Lisa, tell me how, I'm sure that there are some listeners around Asia, Singapore, maybe coming only for a few days, maybe living in Singapore and not aware about what you are doing. How can you join or get information about the Walk and Talk?
So we have had walkers from Hong Kong, from KL, and you, of course, from Bali, that have joined if they're over in Singapore for a few days. The way that you can find out about it is through my website. It's on the events page. So it's sixcoms.org/upcoming events. And on there, you'll find the schedule. I've scheduled all the way up to the end of September. And then I will be putting soon dates for October as well. I try to put up 2 months in advance so people can, you know, block out that time. But it is consistently every Monday at 8 a.m. Singapore time at different locations around the island. And then Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. meet at the iconic Merlion for a riverside walk twice a month on a Wednesday.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's really, I'm so impressed. It's so nice what you are doing and all the soul and mindfulness you put in this. Thank you for that. Thank you for being there as a connector for all the people.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't hesitate to contact our guest. You'll find all the information in the show notes. And hey, If you like the content of There's a Workshop for That, please give it a 5 stars on your podcast app. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, La Workshoppeuse. Also, I'd love to read your comments, suggestions of guests, or any question you have. For this, use the form called Hey Natty in the show notes. And until our next episode, I wish you good health, success, and lots of happiness. Au revoir!